One of the ways to read the Bible is to try to put yourself in the story. So as you're reading through, to try to figure out, if I were there in those moments, what would I be seeing? What would I be touching? What would I be smelling? What would I be tasting? How would I be treating the people around me? How would I be changing because of what I'm learning? And so I thought we'd give that a little bit of a try this morning. We're doing a series called Who Am I? So I'm trying to look a little bit first century-ish here. Although I did have one person say, what, did you forget to change out of your pajamas? I will give them this. If it's hot all the time, this is a whole lot more comfortable way to dress. So apparently people in those days were pretty smart too. I'd like to share with you a reading from the Gospel according to Mark from the 6th chapter. Jesus here has been sending the disciples out, and now they're coming back. And this is the way the story continues. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him everything they had done and taught. Many people were coming and going, so there was no time to eat. He said to the apostles, "Come by yourselves to a secluded place and rest for a while." Have you ever felt like that? Like you just wanted to find a secluded place and get away and rest for a little while? Many people saw him leaving and recognized him, and so they ran ahead from all the cities and arrived before him. When Jesus arrived and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And then he began to teach them many things. When Jesus and his disciples had crossed the lake, they landed at Gennesaret, anchored the boat, and came ashore. People immediately recognized Jesus and ran around the whole region bringing sick people on their mats to wherever they heard that he was. Wherever he went, villages, cities, farming communities, they would place sick in the marketplaces and beg him to allow them to touch even the hem of his clothing. And everyone who touched him was healed. All right, what I'm going to do is ask the question, who am I? And then at the end of the message, I'll ask you the question again and see if you've figured out who it is that I'm trying to put myself in the place of in this story. Let me briefly remind you about some of the characters that are here. It could be that I'm Jesus. It could be that I'm the one that's just looking for a couple days to get away. It could be that I'm one of the disciples. The disciples are kind of new to this disciple thing, but they're intrigued enough to want to follow and find out more. It could be that I'm one of the random people around town that's running ahead in order to try to get a glimpse of what Jesus is doing that just wouldn't leave him alone. It could be that I'm one of the sick people who is trying to get close enough to Jesus to be healed. Or it could be that I'm one of those people who doesn't know that any of this is happening at all. Just going about their everyday business, not really aware of what's happening at all. Would it help you to know a little bit more about me? All right. Most people don't take the time to notice me. They don't pay a lot of attention to me. It's not that I try to be inconspicuous. It's just that I don't try to bring attention to myself. I just try to go about my daily business, and I find that doing the things that need to get done in my day are about as much as I can handle. I'm not important enough that anybody has any real reason to remember my name. I grew up in a farming community, and I would have been very happy living on the family farm for the rest of my life. My family raised sheep and goats. The problem is it was getting really, really hard to keep a family on the farm. And so more and more people, all my friends, were moving to town to get jobs. And so I decided to give that a try. When Herod the Great died before I was born, he divided our country up into quarters. And he put his son, Herod Antipas, in charge of the region that I lived in over Galilee. Antipas set up his capital right along the lake, a little further down from where I lived, in a place called Tiberias. You remember Tiberias? That's where my wife wants to retire when we get older. He really, I think, wanted to be like his dad. He wanted to be known as a king of the Jews, but there was no way he was ever going to get to be known as the king of the Jews. He had a hard time making decisions for himself, and quite frankly, I always find him just plain kind of mean. He seemed more concerned with impressing Rome. In fact, he wanted to make Tiberias look just like Rome. And so he started building buildings and roads and aqueducts, and he even built a theater. Now, I didn't want to work for the government because that was kind of like working for Rome, and I was afraid my friends would hate me. I kind of would have liked to have started my own business, but People I know that tried were all getting taxed to death and finding it was almost impossible. I could have tried to change things, but I really didn't want to stir the water so much. And so I just kind of tried to find a quiet life going about my own business. What I could do is build things. I could help move rocks. And since Herod Antipas was building a lot of buildings around Tiberias, I got a job moving rocks. That was something that I can do. Can you imagine what it might have been like to be me? Have you ever felt overlooked? Have you ever felt like all you really want to do is to go about your own business? Have you ever wanted not to draw too much attention to yourself and just wanted to be a part of the crowd? Sometimes I think about my family back on the farm. My dad used to like to tell this story about the water source was about 2 miles down the road from where we lived, and so every day he'd have to go out to the well to get water. It was 2 miles to the well, uphill, both ways. One day he decided that it would be a lot easier if we just lived closer to the well. And so he started looking for a place that we could move our place to closer to the well. And that very day, you won't believe this, an angel showed up. And the angel was following him and counting his footsteps. So he turned around and he asked this stranger, he said, "Who are you?" And the stranger said, "I'm an angel, and the Lord sent me to count your footsteps and then give you your reward. The more footsteps you take, the greater your reward." My father would say from that day that he learned from the angel that life isn't supposed to be easy, it's supposed to be better. So he moved his house even further from the water. I say this to encourage you. Most of the good that's done in this world is not done by highly visible people who end up getting all the credit. It's done by people like us who are going about our daily work, not trying to make life easier, but trying to make the world better. At least I'm doing a lot better than my friend. My friend got a job with me also moving rocks, but about a year ago, we were moving a load and it tipped and crushed his foot. Broke his leg, and then an infection set in. Now he's not able to do a whole lot. He certainly can't walk and has a hard time getting around. There's a group of us who are his friends who are trying to help him get by, but there's only so much that we can do. I know that it's not in my ability to heal him. But we've been hearing about this guy. We've been hearing about this guy who came here to Gennesaret a while ago, and he was teaching in the synagogue. And on that morning when he was teaching in the synagogue, this crazy guy showed up. He was like possessed. And he said, "I know who you are, son of David." And this guy, whose name was Jesus, said, "I think you could be healed." And he was changed right there in the synagogue. People were telling stories about a leper who came to him. And the leper said, "I think if you want to, you could make me well." And Jesus said, "I do want to. You're well." And he was. Some people brought a paralyzed man to Jesus. Obviously, they had to bring him to Jesus because he's paralyzed. He can't walk, right? So they brought him to Jesus. Jesus said to him, "Your sins are forgiven." And he got up and he started walking. He took his mat. No one had ever seen anything like this. There are even some who say that he has a friend named Lazarus who lives down around Jerusalem that he brought back from the dead. I started paying attention to these stories because I thought maybe this guy Jesus could help my friend. And so I go around and I check him out and I found that this guy had a lot to say. "It's not my foot or my leg that hurts me. Instead, it's my heart, it's my mind, it's my soul that aches." I think we all need to be healed from something, don't you? Don't you think we all need to be healed from something? What do you need to be healed from? This Jesus guy seemed to care. In your language, you say he had compassion on people. In my language, in Greek, we used to say his innards ached. Something inside just ached. He didn't just think about other people. He feels for other people in his gut. And he says it's because of God. He talks about a God who cares and about a God who, because God cares, we ought to care about each other. The irony is that I came to know Jesus because I wanted to help out my friend. Over the years, I've watched from heaven, and one of the people who I've noticed is a guy named Francis. He was from a place called Assisi. He, early in his life, was a very arrogant, wealthy guy who was kind of a jerk to be around. Most of what he liked was fast horses and pretty women and a good drink every now and then. He hated people, especially poor people. And the poor people that he hated the worst were lepers. You could just see when he got around lepers, his skin would start to itch and he'd turn away and try to get away from them as fast as he could. But one day things changed. One day he was on his horse and he was passing by a leper, and something in him made him think that he couldn't follow Christ and hate other people too. And so instead of turning the other way and going away from this leper, he stopped, he got off of his horse, and then he started talking to this leper, and he even took the leper's hand, and it was like the leper had a ring on his hand, and he kissed the ring like he was kissing the hand of a king. I think we all need to know that somebody cares. Jesus had compassion. Is there somebody like that that you know? Somebody you know that's hurting, that needs the healing that Jesus can provide? Is there something that you can do to help, some way that maybe you can help by bringing them closer to Jesus? We heard that Jesus was in our area, and so I thought maybe this Jesus could help my friend. But there was no way that he was going to get all the way across the lake. And so when Jesus was coming our way, we thought maybe this was our opportunity. Not a lot of things happen in Gennesaret, and so when something does, news travels fast. Did you hear about the Bedouin, the shepherd, and the farmer who are out working together all day long? The shepherd and the farmer, all they could do all day long was complain about how hungry they were. All day long, that's all they did, is complain about. The Bedouin, though, just kind of quietly went about his business. When they got to the end of the day, the Bedouin, they got to dinner, and the Bedouin ate like he hadn't eaten in a month. It was like he was famished. And so the farmer and the shepherd asked him, "Why is it all day long you haven't complained about being hungry? And now here it is dinner time, and you're eating like you've never eaten before." The Bedouin said, "Didn't help to be hungry then. Now is the time to be hungry." That was my friend's time to be healed. And so I convinced my friend that maybe this was a good time to be healed. We ran ahead. We carried him ahead so that he'd be able to meet Jesus when he got off the boat. We didn't want to make a spectacle of ourselves. We hadn't done anything to deserve being helped. And we were way too simple to think that we would deserve any of Jesus's time. But it didn't seem to be too presumptuous just to be able to get close enough to want to touch. Have you ever wanted something that badly? Have you ever wanted to get close to Christ that badly? We didn't need much. We just wanted a little bit of his time or energy. And I think Jesus could make my friend feel better. Do you want to know what that felt like? We got close enough to touch a little bit of his garment. Do you want to know what that felt like? What it would have felt like to have been there? Do you have your bulletin? Inside your bulletin, there's a little piece of cloth. Would you humor me and take it out? Touch it? Yes, it felt like that. That's what it felt like, touching the hem of his garment. Back in Moses' day, there had been this guy. We'd gotten the commandments, and you know, one of them was that we weren't supposed to work on the Sabbath day. But some people just forgot. Some people didn't care. This one guy was picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. He wasn't supposed to do that because he forgot. And so we got this idea that people maybe needed a better way to remember. And so in the hem of garments, what we'd do is we'd sew a blue cord and then put tassels on the end of it to remind people about God, to remind them about the commandments, and to remind them to be holy. Do you know somebody who needs to know about a God like that? A friend, maybe, who needs to know about the healing that a guy like Jesus can provide? They probably won't say it out loud. They'll probably do it by complaining about the things that hurt in their life, or by asking strange questions, or maybe by making inappropriate comments to see how you react. But in my day, Jesus was a physical person. I believe that you still can get close to Jesus. You can do that by reading the stories about him in the Bible. You can do that by praying. You can do that by looking for examples of people who lived the way that Jesus lived and learning from them. You can do that basically the same way I did. You look for where God is and you go to them. Looking back, here's what I learned that day. The only thing better than receiving a miracle is helping somebody else get their miracle. I helped make a miracle happen. Before that, I felt like a sheep without a shepherd. But here in this Jesus person, I found somebody that I could, who helped my friend, and so I felt like I could follow him. He felt like he cared, was a shepherd who cared about his sheep. I could follow him because of what he did. All right, now, you've got some idea of the character that I've been trying to step into. Are you ready to guess who maybe I am? I could have been Jesus. No, I see some head shaking. Probably not. I wouldn't have been nearly that presumptuous. I could have been one of the disciples who's trying to follow Jesus, but are still trying to figure out exactly what's going on with him. No, I'm not that committed. I might be one of the sick people who Jesus healed. No, that was my friend. Am I one of the people who's in town just going about his business and has no idea that any of this story is even taking place? Give me a little bit more credit than that. I'm at least a little more paying a little better attention than that. Am I one of the random people around town who recognize Jesus and won't let him alone? Yeah, that's me. Here's my challenge to you. Go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Harass Jesus until he helps your friend. I'd like to invite you to join with me in a word of prayer. Let us pray. Disturb us, O Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams come true only because we have dreamed too little, when we arrive safely only because we have sailed too close to the shore, when with the abundance of things we are losing our thirst for more of you, when in loving time we have ceased to dream of eternity, when in our desire to build this earth we have lost our vision of heaven. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.